It's a blessing to be here this morning where there's air conditioning and nice and cool. Thank the Lord for that. 90 years God has blessed Central Baptist Church. You know, we should look back and thank God for all that He's done and be thankful that we're still here as a church and that God's allowed us to remain where we can continue to do His work and continue to take the gospel out. Now, 1922 was when the church was established. I guess when it was organized. I was about ready to ask who remembers, but I know none of you ladies are even close to that. Now, you men, some of you men are old enough. No, I'm just kidding you. But 1922, President of the United States was Warren G. Harding. Vice President was Calvin Coolidge. And you could buy a stamp for 2 cents. On January 11th of 1922, insulin was first used to treat diabetes. On the 19th of that month, a geological survey said that the United States oil supply would be depleted in 20 years. I guess there have always been alarmists in our country. On the 24th, they said the Eskimo pie was invented by Christian K. Nelson of Iowa. He was not an Eskimo. On January 28th of 1922, the American Pro Football Association was renamed the National Football League. On the February 5th, the Reader's Digest was first published. March 6th, Babe Ruth signed a 3-year contract for $52,000. Now, that's not a whole lot compared to what they sign now. March 23rd, the first airplane landed at the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C. May 23rd, Walt Disney incorporated his first film company called Laugh-O-Gram Films. August 21st, Curly Lambeau and the Green Bay Football Club was granted an NFL franchise. October 4th, for the first time, the entire World Series was broadcast over the radio, and the New York Giants beat the New York Yankees. October 6th, the great powers of the First World War finally withdrew from Istanbul, but a little over a month later, Adolf Hitler spoke to 50,000 National Socialists in Munich. On December 1st, the first skywriting took place over the United States, and it said, hello, USA, and it was put up there by Captain Turner. Maybe we can have someone grab that door. I think we got some noise back there. And then we also have December 3rd, the first successful Technicolor movie was shown in New York City. Last but not least, I know this might be the one you're most interested in, the Arkansas Razorbacks football team won 4 and lost 5, but they did beat LSU 40-6, so I guess it was a good year. Throughout all of this, there was a group of people here in Little Rock that met for that first year. January 15th, 1922, they met in the Royal Theater, which was downtown on Main Street. I believe the building's still there. It's covered up from my understanding, but it's the actual theater was been closed for years. But they met downtown on Main Street, and they were called themselves the People's Baptist Church. Later, they changed the name to Central Baptist Church, and today, here we are. Thank the Lord for what He has allowed to stay and allowed to remain. You know, through the years, Central Baptist Church has had its ups and downs like any church. 90 years, you're going to have some ups and downs. There are going to be some good times, some difficult times. There are going to be some blessings, and there are going to be some burdens. But I believe that this church has been blessed because this church has remained faithful to the Word of God. And I believe God has blessed this church for that reason. This church has had 10 people in a service and 1,000 people in a service, and probably every number in between through that 90 years. Teaching and preaching every Sunday from the Bible. Think about Wednesday nights, Bible studies. Think about all the activities with devotions. Think about through the years, they had a radio ministry here at this church. The printing ministry that took place at this church. Today, people can listen to sermons online. Preaching and teaching the Word of God. Faithful to God's Word. This morning, I want to challenge you to think on this. We must remain faithful to God's Word because it is profitable. I think that's what the people that came before us found out, that God's Word is profitable. In other words, it has great value. And the more we look into it, the more we read it, the more we stick with it, the more we realize how valuable it is for us. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The title of this morning's message is Faithful to God's Word. Faithful to God's Word. Central Baptist Church, I believe, has been faithful to God's Word. From my understanding, this church has always preached the gospel, salvation by grace and through faith. This church has always taken a stand on the Word of God and has remained faithful through the years to God's Word. And so this morning I want to talk to you about being faithful to God's Word and moving forward in that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here. I thank you for the 90 years which you have blessed this church. And I pray this morning as we look at this passage, I pray that we can be reminded of the importance of your Word and the importance for us to look to your Word and to continue to stand on your Word. I pray that you will guide and direct in this message, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage here this morning, you know, it begins there in verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." As far as Central Baptist Church, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that the church has been faithful to God's Word. And because of that, this morning we are here and we still preach and teach God's Word. You see, there have been men and women that have come before us that we can look back and not idolize or not worship or not exalt or lift up, but give thanks that God blessed them. Give thanks that they looked to God and trusted in God. Give thanks that they stood by the Word of God. Now, in this passage, the primary application for Timothy was towards his mom, of course, and his grandma. They were faithful. This morning, if you have parents that loved God and served God, thank God for that. If you are a parent, be faithful. Raise your children after God. In our case, as far as the church, give thanks for those that were faithful. The pastors, the Sunday school teachers, the evangelists, the missionaries that were sent out of this church, and everyone else that was a faithful member of this church and served God through the years. Give thanks that they stood by God's Word. And today that we continue to stand by the Word of God. Now, we go down here, and if you'll notice in verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." And then it tells us that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This morning, I hope to show you that God's Word is profitable, that it has great value. And so, we need to continue to seek it, keep it, read it, study it, proclaim it, hold on to it, and live by it. Because it has great value. We don't need to set it aside or ignore it, but we need to be faithful to God's Word. Now, the primary application here is for the Old Testament. We have Paul here writing to Timothy, and yes, he probably had the entire Old Testament at his disposal, or if nothing else, he knew the Old Testament. He'd read it and studied it. And so that's the primary application. Now, Paul probably had the Gospels with him, at least the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He probably had the Gospels or an understanding of the Gospels. And so Paul probably possessed those, and they were all given from God. That's what he's referring to here. The Scriptures that God has given is what we need to look to because they've been inspired by God. They're from God. Now, as far as Paul's writings, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, or 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter himself believed Paul was inspired, and he made that clear in the book of Peter. So, this morning, the focus of this message is not on inspiration, but on the importance of the Scriptures. But I do want you to know that the Bible has been inspired by God, and it's from God, and so we should look to it not as just a book that is neat or interesting, but something that God has given to us. All of it comes from God. Now, that does not mean He approves of what we find in this book. You can find some pretty wild and evil characters in this book. It doesn't mean He approves of their deeds and their actions. It means that He agrees with the teachings found in this book. In other words, everything is accurate. We're told an accurate story so we can take it and learn from it. And the teachings of Jesus Christ are accurate. And they're approved of by God. Now, all Scripture, it tells us, is profitable or useful. Now we're going to talk about profit this morning and how the Scriptures are profitable to us. That means we can have some gain because of the Scriptures. Now we all enjoy being profitable, whether it's a business or whether it's spiritual. We all enjoy to have some gain. Very few people walk in and ask for a demotion. Usually they're looking for a raise or a promotion. We enjoy having things given to us. Now the Bible is profitable. And we have four profitable areas that we're going to look at real quick. The first area is, it says there, it's profitable for doctrine. We need to remain faithful to the Bible because it's profitable for doctrine. In other words, teaching or instruction. Now that word doctrine, that's what it means. Teaching, instruction. People today don't want to have any doctrines. They want to throw those out the window. They want to have any teaching or instructions. They all want to get together and have a good time and fellowship. Now I'm not against having fun and having a good time, but there has to be something that we stand upon. There has to be a thus saith the Lord, or else it's just an opinion or a good idea. Nothing we can rest upon as being accurate. The Bible provides our teaching. It provides our doctrines. Now what we find in the Bible is what should be taught as doctrines, because it's inspired by God. This morning, as a pastor, if I say something out of an opinion, I hope and pray that you take it as an opinion, or maybe as a thought. But if it's not in the Scriptures, it's not a doctrine. It's not something we can say, God has said you have to do this, or God has said you have to live this way. Look at the other way. If God has put it in there, then it is a doctrine. It is a teaching that we must not only understand, but we should learn from and apply to our life. You see, this word is inspired by God. The messages and the lessons that we preach and teach should be taken directly from God's word. And I believe our beliefs should be grounded in the word of God. If you're here this morning, you're saved. You should know why you're saved. Because God has sent His Son into the world to die for your sins. Whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. You see, the list goes on and on of all the teachings we find in the Scriptures. Now today, if we neglect Bible doctrine or Bible teaching, then eventually we will leave the Word of God. That's what I believe. And I believe it's been proven with many churches through the years. You begin to set aside the Word of God, eventually you have nothing to stand upon, and eventually what takes place is whatever is neat, whatever is fun, whoever has a good idea, that's the direction we'll go. So we must make sure we continue to look to God's Word. When doctrine is set aside, teaching will fade away. And today, this is done with, I guess you could say, practical messages and lessons. And the Word of God should be made practical, because it is. It's for today. But you see, any teaching that's not found in the Word of God is just an opinion or an idea. When push comes to shove, good ideas are useless. You know, when you face a trial or a difficult time, good ideas aren't going to get you through. You're going to want something to stand upon. You're going to want God's Word and God's promises that you can cling to when you go through a trial or a difficulty. That you can trust that God will get you through, because God has promised that He'll work all things out for good. See, that's where God's Word is important for us as doctrine, as teaching. Also, the teachings of the Bible provide a foundation that we can build upon, that we can stand upon and preach and declare the Word of God. You know, when you read the Old Testament, the prophets, when they came, you know what they said? Thus saith the Lord. They never came and said, here's my idea. Here's what I think will go good. They said, thus saith the Lord, and then they delivered the message. Now this morning, I'm not a prophet, but God has given us His Word. And so we can preach and teach, and we can say, thus saith the Lord. Here's what God has said. Here's what God demands. Here's what God expects. Here's how we approach God. And the list goes on and on and on. And that's because we find it in the Word of God. So we must continue to look to God's Word. You know, where there is no doctrine, you'll find human reasoning and opinion. And where there is no doctrine, there will eventually be little or no truth. It's like a slide down a hill. You know, when you set aside the doctrines and teachings of the Bible, it may not all happen within 1 week or even a year, but eventually people begin to go away from God and the teachings of God, because they'll supply their own teachings. You know, the Bible's important. And I want to encourage you this morning to understand the importance of the Bible. We're blessed to have God's Word. We really are. You know, in America, I imagine many of you may have 2 or 3 copies of the Bible. You may have a copy on your computer, maybe even have a copy on your phone. We're blessed with the ability to go and read the Bible. I was reading about David Livingstone. He's the missionary. He went to Africa in the mid-1800s. And in 1852, when he first went there, he carried 73 books. He enjoyed reading. 73 books, and they weighed 180 pounds. After he'd gone about 300 miles, he decided he had to get rid of some of his books. So he began to discard these books as he went further into Africa, into the jungle. And he continued to throw away books as he went further in, as he explored the country and witnessed to people. Eventually, his library shrunk to one book. And I'm sure you know which one it was. It was the Bible. He never got rid of it. Took it with him the rest of his life, went through and did God's work. You see, he understood the importance of the Bible. You know, we could get rid of all the books we have. Now, I don't recommend that, of course. I thank God for education, and we should study and learn. But let's not neglect the Bible. Let's not set that aside. You know, we could set aside all the other books, and yes, we may struggle with some things and may not have some blessings that we have, but if we have the Bible, we know what God expects. We can have eternal life. We can live right before God, and we can serve the Lord. So let's not set aside the Word of God. Let's be faithful to what God has given to us. Now let's go back to our text. It says, all Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God. It says there, is profitable for doctrine. We've just discussed that. He says next, for reproof. See, we need to remain faithful to God's Word because it's profitable for reproof. Profitable for reproof. Now when you think about reproof, that word reproof means convincing of sin. Like if you're able to sit someone down or even yourself to be convinced of something, that's being reproved. And the word reproof refers to conviction based upon evidence that you've seen something or you've come to an understanding of something because you've been convicted or you now see, I guess you say, the correct way or the way that the evidence points. Now the Bible provides proof, first off, of man's true nature. That's the first thing I want you to think about this morning. The Bible provides proof of man's true nature, our sinful nature. You see, God didn't hide anything from us. God did not come down and say, guess what, everything's all right. Everything's good. You guys just take care. Just enjoy life. Everything will be all right. God, in His Word, made it very clear that we have a problem, and that problem's sin. You know, people today talk about problems, and I say, yeah, there are a lot of problems, and the problem's sin. That's where it starts with, and that's why people have other problems, because they have a sinful nature. Romans 5, verse 12, let me show you this so we can back it up with the Scriptures. Romans 5, we know it says there in verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible tells us that sin entered into the world with Adam, and then that we have inherited that sinful nature. I think there's enough evidence to back up that verse. When you think about this world. History. I mean, you just think about the history of our world. It's filled with war. It's filled with strife. It's filled with violence. I mean, you don't have to go back. I mean, just look at today. We don't have to go look at history. How about we just look at our world today? Filled with war, strife, and violence throughout our world. Even if it's not happening in our neighborhood or in Little Rock right now. Around the world, there is all kinds of problems and troubles. So I think that there's enough evidence to validate that claim or to validate that verse. And the reason why it's there is because of sin. You see, men and women sin because they're sinners, have a sinful nature, and then they sin. You know, the Bible tells us that there are problems in this world. And it's because the world is populated with sinners. That's why we have struggles and difficulties. That's why there are murderers and rapists and thieves and everything else in between of sinful deeds. You know, many want to blame God. I always find that interesting. You know, a lot of people want to blame God. God, why you allowed that to happen to me? In reality, the blame belongs upon us. We're sinners, and we live in a world of sin, and things happen because of that sin. You know, according to Romans 3 or 6, verse 23, we're accountable for that sin. For the wages of sin is death. See, we're accountable for that sin. Each and every one of us is accountable for our sin, but the world in general is accountable for sin. You see, God looks upon the world. God didn't send all this terrible actions and deeds into this world. Man has sinned, and man is now reaping what we have sown through the thousands of years of sinful actions and sinful deeds and wicked living. And so we're just reaping what we have sown, and we're accountable for that. You see, the Bible basically points us to the problem. The Bible says here, look within yourself. Look at each other. That's where the problem is. It's not with God. You know, sometime this morning, I imagine you looked at your mirror. Whether the mirror in your bathroom, the mirror in your car. Sometime this morning, you probably glanced at the mirror as you're getting ready real quick to get ready to start your day. You know, many of us never even give it a second thought when we look at the mirror. We just go and glance as we're getting ready, and we move on and take off. It wasn't until 1835 that the German chemist Liebig devised a process for coating plates of glass with metallic silver. Of course, they have enhanced upon that, and we have our modern day mirror. And we have a mirror. You see, the Bible is like a mirror. When we began to read it, we began to realize who we really are. Not what everyone else is saying who we are, but what God has says who we are. You know, in Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it says, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, that's the Word of God. You see, when you read the Bible, you know what happens? We're reminded of reality. And of course, when we think about coming to Christ, we need to understand sin. But you know, afterwards, even after we're saved, we need to be reminded of sin. So that way we separate from it and we live unto God. You know, we need to be reminded that God looks down upon drunkenness and adultery. And the list goes on and on and on. And those are things that are against God. So we need to separate from those things. You know, as men and women, we need to be reminded what God considers to be sin. And so we need to read the Bible and apply the Word of God because God has provided it for us. And that's reproof, convincing of sin. You see, the Bible, it's there. If we read the Bible, we'd find that. Now let's go back and let's look at our text. I want to look at the third profitable area we have. It says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And then thirdly, it says for correction. I don't like to be corrected. I don't think anyone enjoys being corrected. Even when we're wrong, it's hard to be corrected. Maybe it's just because my wife might say it's just me. I don't like to be corrected. It's not fun to think or enjoyable to think that we've done something wrong. And then we got to be correct. You know, children, at a young age, you see that. I mean, they'll say, maybe make up an excuse or they'll argue and say, I didn't do that. Even if you know they're wrong. I think it's our human nature to rebel against correction, especially when it comes from God. But the Bible, it says, is profitable for correction. In other words, for setting things straight, for setting things right. Now, that word for correction refers to restoration. It's not talking about correction to run someone down. You know, when a parent corrects a child, it's not done, or it should not be done, to embarrass them. It shouldn't be done to prove a point, or as far as like saying, I'm tougher than you. It should be done so they get restored, so they get things right. If they're doing something wrong, it should be done so they understand how to do it correctly, and they get things settled. See, that's what correction is, or proper correction. And the Bible is profitable for correction. So we get things right with God. And we do things in a correct way. You see, the Word of God is needed today. We don't need reform or education. We don't need to throw money at problems. That's what many just want to do. Just throw money at it and that'll fix it. Those are like sticking a Band-Aid on a large gash on your skin. I mean, it may look nice, but it's not going to do anything as far as actually healing anything. You see, this morning, we need the Word of God. The Word of God challenges us to set things right with God is what it does. It shows us where we're wrong. It shows us how to get things right. It's really a challenge when you begin to read it. You know, how many of you enjoy challenges? I do. It's fun to be challenged. You know, when we read the Word of God, it really is a challenge. I mean, we begin to realize that God has said, we must do this or walk with Him. Now, not for salvation. I'm not talking about works, but I'm talking about getting things right with God so we can live with Him and live, I guess you could say, according to His Word. You see, we need to settle things with God is what needs to happen. Romans 5:1, I'll just turn there real quick. And this talks about someone who has already got things right with God. Romans 5, verse 1, it says there, therefore, being justified by faith, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to give an entire list of things that we have because someone is right with God or has things settled with God. But I want you to notice this morning, when you settle issues with God, beginning with salvation, you settle that with God, you will have peace with God. In other words, you will no longer be at odds with God. You'll no longer be an enemy with God. Instead, you'll be at peace with Him. And now when you're at peace with God, that means that you are with Him. You know, as Amos said, can two walk together unless they be agreed? You can't walk with God if you're against God. But when you're with God, you can walk with God. And you can please God and live for God. You see, the Word of God challenges us to settle things with Him. Now this morning, I will say this. I think it's obvious for anyone that does an honest examination, it's obvious that the ways of man or the ways of the world are failing. And the reason why I say that is today, just in our nation, we'll just start with, you know, challenge you to think about our country. Education is unrivaled today. I mean, it's available. And I'm not saying anything slighting education. I encourage you to get an education. If God's blessed you and allowed you to get a degree of any kind, a master's degree, doctorate, go for it. If God is leading you and blessing you in that direction, there's nothing wrong with that. But education is unrivaled in our country today. I mean, people have degrees or colleges all over the place where you can get a degree. Yet sin is in our country. I mean, it fills our country. I mean, it's all over. How about psychologists and counselors? I mean, we have more resources today than ever to go and seek help as far as the world's help, offering help to get things right and get things taken care of. And there are psychologists and counselors, I mean, they're numerous now. I mean, they're all over the place. You go back 100 years ago, you didn't find that. But today we have that. Yet we find an immoral, self-centered, and uncaring nation. That's what we find. Crime is rampant, and sin is everywhere. It is. I mean, you get online, you'll find sin. You watch TV. Even if the show's clean, you got to watch the commercials, or at least when the commercials come on. Sin is all over the place. You drive down the street, you'll find billboards. Some of them will have sin. Sin is just everywhere. It's just part of our nation. And I think sometimes we become desensitized towards it because we just see it so much. What's wrong? I believe the problem is many men and women are still at odds with their Creator. Many men and women in our nation today are still against God. They have yet to make peace with God. And so they're living in their sins. And until they set things right with God, until they get things settled with God, they will never find true peace, they'll never find true joy, happiness, or contentment. But they're going to continue to search and look, and they'll continue to come up short. And that's what's going to happen in our world because of sin, because of what's in sin in our world today. You know, you think about the world and seeking happiness. You know, people will look everywhere for happiness today. Everywhere. I was reading in psychology, I wasn't reading, I just read about it in Psychology Today in the January 1st, 2009 issue. They made a claim, and I thought this was amazing, that they had over 2,000 books were published that year on happiness in 2009, which at first may not seem like a whole lot. But then you consider in that same article, they said in the year 2000, there were only 50 books on happiness published. Why is that? People are looking for happiness and contentment, but they're setting aside the Bible to find it. They're looking to what someone may say on a talk show. They're looking to what someone may say in the next upcoming book. But they're not looking to God to get things right and to get things settled. So this morning, we must continue to seek after God and continue to seek after His Word and to find what His Word has to say concerning the way we live. I'll give you an illustration, I believe, that really brings this point home. In 1790... 9 of the mutineers from the Bounty. Now, they've made movies of this. They've had books written about this. 9 mutineers from the ship, the Bounty, they were caused an uproar, and they created a big mutiny on this ship, the Bounty. And what ended up happening is they crashed it on this island. It was the Pitcairn Island in the Pacific. And they landed there, and over the next several years, they lived in sin and wickedness. There were 11 women and one baby that they all were deserted on this island. Now, there were some people there that had been living there. And through the next several years, there was nothing but just problems. Alcoholism, murder, and disease was just filled that island over the next several years. Well, there were two men, John Adams and Ned Young, two men who turned to the Scriptures. They found a Bible in one of the cases that they had taken off the ship before they ran the ship aground and put it into the ocean. And they found the Bible. And using that Bible that was carried on that ship as their guide for a new way in life, is what they said. They wanted a new way in life. They created a peaceful society. And not only did those that were still there living turn to Christ, but many of those that were living on the island also trusted in Christ. And in 1808... the United States ship, the Topaz, visited the island, went by the island, stopped by and visited it, and it's recorded. Here's what they recorded that they found. They found a thriving and prosperous community without whiskey, without a jail, without crime, and without an insane asylum. The Bible had changed their lives. You see, people were looking to the Bible instead of looking to all the other things that the world had to offer. You see, this morning, the problem is people have set aside God's Word. You know, as a church, we need to remain faithful to God's Word. As individuals, I challenge you to remain faithful to God's Word, because God's Word tells us how to set things right with Him. Now, you think of salvation. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." You know, we know without God, we have no hope. Romans 6:23 talks about the wages of sin being death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, because of Jesus Christ, we can have life. And that's what God has said. God, in His Word, says, if you want to get things right with me, you got to come through Jesus Christ. I have sent my Son to die on the cross for your sins. Believe on Him. Trust in Him for salvation, and you can be saved. You see, we need to understand our need and then understand that Christ or God has provided a way for us to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, afterwards, you know, once we're saved, of course we're going to make mistakes. You know, 1 John 1:9 was written to believers, and it says there, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, after we're saved, when we make a mistake or we get stubborn or headstrong and we get into sin and we realize it, we don't need to continue in those sins. We just need to fall on our knees before God and seek His forgiveness. He'll forgive us and we can move forward living for Him. So the Word of God is profitable for getting things settled with God and getting things right with God. Finally, I just want to look at this real quick and we're going to close with this. We go back to the 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we see that the Bible tells us there that the verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and finally for instruction in righteousness. Now, this is basically to know what is right before God. You see, after we're saved, after we have made things right with God, after we have settled the issues of sin and we have been forgiven, then we need to live according to God's Word. And God has provided the way we're to live before Him. You see, we need the Scriptures so we can live correctly before God. We need the Scriptures so we can be reminded of how we once were and what we're not to do any longer. We need instruction so we can grow spiritually after we have been saved. You know, after we're saved is when we really need to dig into the Word of God. Study it, read it, meditate on it, as David said, and get to know God's Word. Because God's Word will be a guide. As David said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 2012, you know, we're 90 years removed when this church began, but I will say this, the Word of God has not changed. A lot of things have changed since then. I mean, some of you are driving different model cars, that's for sure, this morning. Some have telephones and you can call the other side of the world in just a matter of seconds. You can get online and you can search, information. I mean, information overload sometimes. You get online, you find anything you want. You know, 90 years have passed. Technology has moved forward. A lot of things have changed. But God's Word remains the same. God's Word will still instruct us in righteousness and show us how we're to live before God and how we're to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord, to be a lamp unto our, as it says, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we'll know the way to go and the direction we're to follow after the Lord. See, it's profitable to follow the instruction that we find in the Bible. We find great gain if we look to the Bible. You know, in closing this morning, Central Baptist Church, I believe, has been blessed because it has remained faithful to God's Word. And I believe those that have come before us, the pastors, the deacons, the teachers, and the list goes on and on of all those that worked and served in the church and the members, I believe many of them found the Word of God to be profitable. They found it to have great gain, so they remained faithful to it. They stuck by it when it was attacked, when it was laughed and mocked at. They continued to live for it, and they continued to preach it and teach it, probably because they themselves had been changed. And they looked around and saw others being changed by the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And this morning, I pray that we will continue in God's Word and we'll be changed as we live and study it, but also that others will recognize this and they'll look to God's Word for their answers. You see, when we go to God's Word, we know how, I guess, to know what God expects of us. That's doctrine. We also know how to approach God. That's reproof. We know how to come to Him. We know how to live with God, and we also know how to live for God. You see, the Bible is profitable in our world today. It doesn't matter what career path you have chosen to go down. It doesn't matter where you are in life. As far as perhaps, we have young people here this morning starting their careers. We have people that have been in their careers for years. We have some starting new careers. We have some who've retired, enjoying life after the end of a working career. It doesn't matter where you find yourself this morning. The Word of God is still profitable. There's still some gain for you in here. God still has something that He'll say, this is for you, this is how you can live, or this is what you should do, or here's the direction I have for you. So I encourage you to remain faithful to God's Word. Look to Him and trust in His Word. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You provided. And I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for allowing us to have it and for showing more of yourself to us through your word. And this morning, as we have this time of invitation, I pray that if nothing else, we can give thanks for your word. And if there's someone here this morning that has come to the understanding that they're without you, that they need your salvation, I pray today that they get that settled. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation. As the piano begins to play, if God has just worked in your heart at all this morning, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer. Perhaps there is one here this morning as we went through the importance of getting things settled with God. Maybe there's one here this morning that needs to get things settled with God. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've been living in your sins. You've been good. Maybe you've been to church, but you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior. You've never sought God's forgiveness from a humble and broken heart. You've never approached God in the way that He has demanded. If that's the case this morning, I encourage you to trust in Christ as your Savior. If you can come down to these altars and pray down here in front, or if you have questions, you can come down this morning and someone can show you from the Bible how you can know that you're saved.